and welcome to Jilly Bowl, the podcast about that song you know, but know nothing about. I'm Jamie.
I'm Emily.
Each week, we'll break down a topic from Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. We will take turns being the expert each week as we dive into these people, events, etc. Disclaimer, if you are already a history buff, this podcast is not for you. If you are just a sweet dum-dum like us and want to know a little more, you're in the right place. This week's topic is Toscanini.
So when you first told me you were doing Toscanini, immediately I was like, that has to be a pasta dish.
Must be pasta.
That has to be food. That has to be something that I can order from Olive Garden. I'm going to be really upset if it's anything other than like a cheesy Alfredo type chicken dish.
I wish.
Is it the opposite of that?
It is a human.
Fine.
A human whose first name is Arturo.
That means bear.
Oh.
I think.
In Italian?
Something in Spanish?
Oh.
Maybe Italian.
Well, it was Italian.
Okay.
But bear pasta.
Yeah, because he goes to the Olive Garden.
He goes to the Olive Garden. Yes. Arturo Toscanini.
Okay.
He was a pretty cool dude.
Good.
He was born in 1867. Oh. So, quite some time ago.
Wow, so how does he make it into this song?
Just You Wait.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
It's pretty cool. I really like... His whole life was a lot of different moving parts, but then also the lady I talk about at the end is also really cool, which I went down a big rabbit hole to be able to learn more about her as well.
Nice.
So stay tuned, everybody. it's very interesting how he does make it into the song, being born in 1867.
Right.
Wow. He's best known for being a music conductor.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. He was very intense. He is a perfectionist and had an incredible memory.
Hmm.
Which I feel like a lot of conductors and musicians.
Right, you have to have like a brain like that.
But he was well known for it.
Hmm.
He played all over the world and he had the honor of being the first conductor of the NBC Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. And he was a part of that for 11 years, and that was near the end of his life. So he did a lot before then. So let me tell you all about it.
Let's hear about it.
Okay. Arturo was born in Parma, Italy.
Stop.
There's more pasta references.
I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten lunch today. And now I just want noodles.
Noodles.
Okay.
Parma noodles.
Parma, Italy. Take me there.
And when he grew up, he was a very musical child.
Mm-hmm.
He won a scholarship to the local music conservatory, and his main focus was the cello.
Beautiful.
I like the cello a lot. I think if I played an instrument.
I think I could maybe pick a cello out of a lineup.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you could.
Is it black?
No. Well, I mean, I suppose it could
is
be.
Is that an oboe? Just keep going.
It is a string instrument, opposite of oboe.
Thinking of like a flute thing, yeah. A wind instrument.
Cello is
please
definitely
just leave
a
me back here.
Oh,
please keep going on without me. Oh no. Oh,
woof.
No. Okay.
I'll show you a picture of one soon.
Why did these are things we learned in elementary school? Why don't I know what a cello
is? I don't know,
like?
But wait, the fact that you thought it was
stop,
an oboe.
Okay. Shut up. And tell yourself to shut up. Just keep going. Okay.
Apparently, the living conditions at the conservatory he was at were really poor, and I guess most of his diet contained mostly fish.
I wanted it to be pasta.
It was fish, disappointingly.
Okay.
But he was so sick of eating fish that... Once he really made it big, he never ate anything that came from the sea again because he had eaten it so much as a kid.
Too much fish.
Too much fish, not enough pasta.
Not enough parm. Okay.
He joined an opera company playing the cello in the orchestra in 1886. So at this point, he was 19 years old. And he got to tour South America. while he was doing this. We're still not over it.
It's so sorry.
I just keep picturing like fish and a cello and an oboe.
I'm sure he could have played an oboe quite well.
It's not even funny.
No. Well, yeah, it is. It is. There are real tears. There's real laughter tears.
It's really crying.
Okay. Oh, Taro.
I looked it up. It does mean bear, but I don't think it means bear in Italian.
Oh.
I did a quick Google search.
We're learning so much today.
It's a Celtic name.
Oh, okay.
Strong as a bear. It could be. I think it is in other languages too, but I'm afraid to say anything else because I'm suddenly dumb. Okay. Please tell me more about Toscanini.
Toscanini. So he was 19 years old, and he was going all around the world, going to South America. Mm-hmm. And when they were presenting Aida in Rio de Janeiro, the local conductor, I guess, was quite a bit of a jerk.
Oh, no.
And the singers basically were going on strike if he wasn't fired. And so, like, this was, like, right before a show, and they're like, we're not performing if this guy is going to be doing this. It was, like, a long time coming, but they're like, okay, this is the last straw. Two other guys tried to finish the work and do the conducting, but they were unsuccessful, and they were like, no, you can't do it. And then Toscanini comes in, and he's like,
I got this.
Yes. I can do this. And all of the musicians convinced him to take up the baton at 9:15 p.m. Whoa. So, like, I would assume that the show was delayed at that point. Mm-hmm. But people were there to watch it. So at 9:15, he went up and he conducted the opera.
Wow.
The opera is 2.5 hours long. And, like, he was not planning on doing it, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just like, okay, I'll do it. And he did it from memory.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know anything that much, I don't think.
Like, it'd be one thing if you, like, you knew your cello parts by memory.
Right. But to know the whole
to conduct
opera and to be, and that's obviously not the only thing he knew or did. That's incredible.
He was, it was pretty cool. And everybody was surprised and amazed, like, not only because of the memory, but also he was 19.
Wow. He's a kid.
He was just a kid. So he ended up, like, once they found that out, they're like, you should do this more often. And so he ended up conducting 18 operas in total that season, and all of them were, like, a smashing success. Like, he did it mm-hmm. so well, and he nailed it, crushed it.
Cool.
He returned to Italy after that and continued to conduct. He revised and conducted Edmia, okay. Another opera, which was written by Alfredo Cantilini.
I just got it together. Can you please not?
It won't stop.
Oh my god. Alfredo.
Picture it. Italy. Oh. Alfredo. Parm.
All I'm picturing is pasta. Okay, Alfredo Cantilini.
Yes. Okay. So, okay. And I thought it was interesting because he had just, or Toscanini revised and conducted this opera mm-hmm. that literally just premiered earlier that year. So he was, like, really up and coming with it and, like, was quick to make his own twist on things. And in doing this, Toscanini became really close friends with Alfredo. And he adored him and even actually named his firstborn daughter after the heroine of Alfredo's opera, Lawali.
The girl's name was Lawali?
The girl's name was Wally.
Okay. Don't try to get a reaction from me, because you will. And I can't.
I thought it was kind of cute.
That is cute. That is a cute story.
Wally.
That's adorable.
I tried really hard, actually, to get more information about his family life, namely his wife. But I couldn't find out too much about her. But mm-hmm. what I did find out, they did get married in 1897. He was 30 at that point, and she was not even 20 yet. Mm. So, interesting. Her name was Carla De Martini.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, I want my name to be Carla Martini.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
They had a couple kids. They had Walter, Wally, and Giorgio, but he died of diphtheria at a young age.
Oh.
And then that same year that happened, Carla gave birth to their second daughter named Wanda.
Wow.
More about Wanda later.
Can't wait.
Yeah. So, I mean, there wasn't much about his family, but from what I did read and hear, like, Carla was really supportive and knew that that was his life's work and cared a lot about that. So she gave him the space and let him tour and do all of the things he wanted to do. It seemed like they had a really loving relationship.
That's good.
Yeah, he goes on to conduct more than he plays the cello instead. He stayed in Italy mostly in his 20s, and he was given the opportunity to conduct world premieres of operas, such as La Boheme and Pagliacci. I don't know operas very well, but he was entrusted to conduct, like, brand new works.
Sure.
So it's pretty cool. People liked him because he showed dedication and he was capable of hard work. Just in 1898 alone, he conducted 43 concerts, and he was named the principal conductor and then music director at La Scala, which is like a big opera thing in Italy.
Okay.
The biggest.
Mm-hmm.
He got to collaborate with another man named Alfredo Antonini.
Yep.
He was a pianist and an organist, and
you can't say Alfredo and pianist in the same sentence.
Did it.
That's so rude. Okay. Okay.
And so in 1920, like during all of that time and collaborating with Alfredo, he brought La Scala Orchestra on a U.S. tour.
Oh.
So that's how he gets.
I was gonna say, eventually he's gonna get to New York, right?
Yeah, he conducted at the Met and worked with the New York Philharmonic. And kind of a crazy fact that he was supposed to go back to Europe on board the Lusitania.
That's the Titanic sister boat, right? No.
Okay. Maybe. Whatever. Well, God. Maybe. But.
It's no, the one this is that the got, wrong year. I'm in, like, yeah. a wrong decade. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so, no, continue with
there this. Was a boat that was like that rescued the Titanic, I think, is what, or attempted.
Mm-hmm.
No, the Lusitania was the one that got sunk by German U-boat and, like, started the war.
Oh.
That's
that famous boat. A different boat.
But, he was set to be on board of that boat.
Scary.
Just crazy. But he cut his concert schedule short and left a week earlier.
Whoa.
On an Italian ocean liner.
Lucky.
Yes. And a fun fact about that boat is more knowledge, not about Toscanini, but the fact about that boat, when it was sunk, it was so long that when it was sinking, it actually hit the bottom. Like, it went down and touched the bottom of the ocean and then started sinking. Because it was so, like, it touched the bottom.
That's
we
how
have
big that
talked
boat.
About
you
how
guys,
scary our ocean.
The ocean fear is so real for me. Oh, that gives me shivers.
No.
But you needed to know.
Oh, I do. I'm going to think about that later for a long time.
Yeah.
I dislike that, but I need to think about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Crazy. Okay. Little bit of a detour there.
I need to research that boat now.
Yes, okay. Probably.
When I want to be awake all night long. Okay. I can't go ever on a boat.
He was great. He was going all over. People wanted him to play. He was the first non-German conductor to play in Bayreuth, which is in Germany, in 1930. So it was like...
A big deal.
It was a big deal because Germans were like, only Germany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
He played in Palestine, Egypt, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, Istanbul, like
everywhere.
Kind of like controversial places too. And so I was like, man, this guy is just, he's so, so great. And then I started reading something. I'm like, this isn't good.
No.
In 1919, albeit unsuccessfully, he ran as a fascist parliamentary candidate in Milan.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that maybe, I mean, it's not like he was young at that point, but it was also like, it was like, I don't know if it was new and up and coming fascism. But I think he very quickly realized, yeah, that's not right.
Okay.
So
he didn't stick with the party.
He didn't stick with the party. Thankfully, he did not become the parliamentary person. Like, it was really good.
Is Mussolini in the song?
He's not.
He's not.
But I'm about to talk about him.
Oh, okay. Tell me more.
But because he ran for that seat, that got him on Mussolini's radar.
Oh.
Which, if you don't know Mussolini, he was the prime minister of Italy at the time. He was no good.
Bad.
Bad, bad boy.
Bad news.
And Mussolini called him the greatest conductor in the world.
He might have been right.
Yeah.
About that.
Thankfully, Toscanini, he had become disillusioned with fascism before the march on Rome happened. And he defied Mussolini at every turn. Like, always, like, once he was like, yeah, that's not right, he was like, I don't like Mussolini and okay. anything he stands for. He refused to play the fascist anthem at La Scala, which is where he worked for a long time in Italy, and apparently told a friend that if he was capable of killing a man, that he would kill Mussolini.
Whoa.
Bold. In 1931, he was ordered to play Giovenza.
I don't know.
Basically, the fascist anthem.
Okay.
That he refused to play. But he was ordered to play it, and he still refused. And he didn't play it, but after, he was attacked and hurt after the show by a group of men.
Yikes.
He was in his 60s at this point. Like, you're going to beat up this 6-year-old famous man?
Leave him alone.
But Mussolini had Toscanini's phone tapped and watched him like a hawk. Like, he had people following Toscanini all the time.
Wow.
And he confiscated Toscanini's passport. And the world was like, no, you don't get to take away this man who travels to all of us and performs this great music. They like revolted. Like, people were pissed.
Good.
And Mussolini was like, fine, here's your passport.
Fine, whatever.
So then that brings us to World War II, and he peaced out of Italy. He was like, not going to be here during this crap.
Yeah.
But he came back to Italy to reopen La Scala, the opera house that had been restored because it was damaged in the war.
Okay.
So during the war is when he started at the NBC Symphony. Mm-hmm. His first broadcast was on Christmas Day in 1937 in Studio 8H Rockefeller Center. Which I just thought was cool with SNL. And
yeah. I was going to say, what show is in 8H now? Is it SNL or is it The Tonight Show?
I don't know what it is now. I mean, it's still NBC.
Anyway, that is cool.
Yeah. Not only did the American public love him and his conducting, but just, like, I thought a lot about how it was just an amazing time as television was just getting started, mm-hmm. which is a whole nother episode as television.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was really cool because when you are recording an orchestra, like, you need the sound to be spot on. You want it to be, like, the acoustics to be really good. And so they were trying out all kinds of high-tech things like microphones and recording tools. So it was just kind of exciting to think about.
Mm-hmm.
One of the criticisms of Toscanini at this point in his life and been, like, focusing more of playing in America was that the public didn't like that he didn't really play any American music.
Whatever.
But it was like, that's all you got? And he heard that and he was like, fine, I'll play some American music. Cool. Like, I like American music. Sure, I'll do this. And he even wrote his own orchestral arrangement of the Star Spangled Banner.
Very cool.
Yeah. So he was like,
guys,
sure, I can do that for
I'm
you.
I'm a team player.
Yeah.
I got this.
In 1940, he went to South America again on a tour with his orchestra, and he had stepped away from NBC on fairly good terms, but it was over a disagreement about the use of the musicians in other broadcasts. He didn't want those musicians to be shared.
Like, he wanted his musicians to be his musicians only.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting. I wonder if that was something the musicians agreed with or not, like, if it was... If it was something where they were under a contract with NBC and they were like using these musicians so often that it was unfair, mm-hmm. and he was like advocating for them, or if he was being like selfish and just like, I have to have my own musicians.
Right.
I don't know.
But at this point he was 73 years old.
Nice.
And he had left with the door being open for his return at NBC. And he was quoted saying, if my state of mind, health, and rest will be improved enough, he would come back. His health did decline a bit, but he returned being a co-conductor. And then in 1944, 4 years later, he took full control again. So he took a brief stint to just tour around South America.
Same.
And then come back. He was just nonstop. In 1950, he went on another big tour, and there's this great picture of him as an old man on a ski lift. You might recognize the picture if you see it, mm-hmm. but not knowing it was Toscanini.
Okay.
He was really dedicated to his work, and he was by his side when his wife Carla passed, even though she did not go on those last tours with him. She was in Italy, so he was with her in 1951 when she passed. But he kept working on those concerts for NBC until 1954.
Do you know if she came to New York with him when he worked for NBC, or was she back in Italy?
You know, I'm not 100% sure. I know that in her old age, she wasn't well enough to travel.
Okay.
So it could have been at the beginning of that, but...
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, but so this was in, like, the 1950s, so, mm-hmm. wow, okay.
It was also around this time that he started getting a reputation of being kind of scary and mean. Like, you can YouTube, like, rants and, like, tantrums that he had.
At musicians or just at people?
Just, like, at the conducting helm. Like, he would just have a tantrum.
Like Whiplash? Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Whiplash? Yes.
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 So... Very much Whiplash.
Okay, cool.
I want to watch that movie now.
Oh my god, I love that movie. I own it. It's
Do
so
you?
Good. Yes.
I love that movie.
I say of it, si, canta, canta, corpo, cantate! Cazzi suonatori, per Dio santo. Non capito un cavolo. Vergogna! L'importante è meno mosso. Ai, 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 mi fa male, mi fate male, ai, 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 ai. No! Dai, dai, vada, c'ho la frecina, dai, 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 dai.
Also, a little bit of a detour. Toscanini looks like Walter White.
Oh, really?
Kind of, in a way. Like, all of his, a lot
like
of
Brian
his...
Like Bryan Cranston, or even just, or like
Walter
White?
No, Walter White, because of the hat.
Oh, really?
And there's even a caricature that somebody drew of Toscanini, and it's like a caricature drawing, and it looks so much like the caricature drawing of Walter White.
Funny.
So, yeah, we'll post some pictures of it, but... It just, when he's wearing that hat, like, maybe not so much with his, like, bald head.
Yeah.
But with the hat, it resembles, especially that caricature.
Yeah.
On April 4th was the last time that he did a concert on NBC.
Okay. Of what year?
1954.
Oh, 1954. Okay.
Mm-hmm. He had a minor lapse of concentration, which is something that had not happened because he was so focused. He had memory. He was so good. And the TV broadcasters panicked, and they took the show off the air for 1 minute.
Uh-oh.
which made everything seem way worse than it actually was. Yeah. And it, like, kind of made panic and mm-hmm. people were concerned and everything, which then kind of led to his retirement finally at the age of 87.
I was going to say, he's got to be in his 80s now. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, he just didn't stop. In his retirement, he worked with his son to edit recordings so they would be able to release them.
Okay.
And he enjoyed watching comedy programs as well as boxing and wrestling matches on TV.
Cute.
I love that. He passed away on January 16th, 1957, at the age of 89, in his home in the Bronx.
Wow.
It was also his daughter Wally's 57th birthday that he died.
Aww.
It's kind of sad. He was posthumously.
Thank you. It's okay. If I get to say one smart thing this episode, it's that I know how to pronounce the word posthumously.
Posthumously.
Which means after you have died.
Yes.
Yes.
Awarded the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award, but not till 1987.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a lot later.
Yeah. He's buried in Italy in the Tuscanini
Olive Garden.
I'm so sorry.
With free breadsticks.
I know that there's so much of Italian culture, and I feel like I'm being really disrespectful, but I just got pasta on the brain, y'all.
We just want pasta.
Okay. Yes, he's buried there.
Mm-hmm. He's buried there, and I thought it was really cool. He willed his baton to his protege.
Ooh.
Yes. And his protege was a lady.
Yes.
Herva Nelli.
Beautiful.
And I kind of went down a rabbit hole reading about her, but mm-hmm. then, like,
Was she Italian also?
Yes.
Cool.
So I wanted to find more. Like, I wanted to find a story about her, but mm-hmm. there wasn't a whole lot that I can find. Mm-hmm. But she was an opera singer. Born in Italy, then lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania when she was 10. And she was...
Why Pittsburgh?
Right?
Sorry.
Italians. Why?
So. What are you doing there?
I don't know.
Okay.
But she was chosen by Toscanini himself to perform in the NBC Symphony Orchestra concert of Otello without an H. Not Othello.
Okay.
Otello.
Uh-huh.
Which I was very confused because I guess it's based on the Shakespeare play.
Is it like the Italian version of the word Othello?
Maybe.
Things we don't know.
Don't understand.
Okay.
I don't know. But then... by doing that, it opened the door for her to do so many more amazing works. And she was, like, she was Toscanini's, like, right-hand girl. Like, for all of those things, he wanted her to perform.
Mm-hmm.
And she toured all over, similarly to what Toscanini did, in performing in operas until she retired in 1962 at the age of 53.
Hmm.
She passed away at 85 because of leukemia. But she was a really powerful performer. And people would say that her voice was not her selling point. Like, adamantly did not like her singing voice.
Oh.
Like, it was not... some of the things were not nice. They're like... and a lot of people questioned Toscanini giving the baton to her. Because it was like, what does he see in her? Like,
interesting. That had to have been really hard if people were critical of you that way. Especially, like, to have to feel... then you have to live up to this, like, world-class...
but, like, she kept getting jobs.
Yeah.
People loved her.
Yeah.
But that was not her voice.
Her singing was not.
She, like, the drama and how she lived through the music really came through. So mm-hmm. it was her, like, stage presence, basically. That was the best part. So, I mentioned I wanted to talk about Wanda.
Wanda.
Yes.
I've been waiting for Wanda.
Wanda was so cool.
Oh, good.
She was the youngest daughter. And she studied piano and voice. But she never pursued a career because... she thought she could never live up to her father and her father's expectations.
Interesting.
But she stood up to her father. Most people, like, when you're so famous and, like, well-liked, people are like, yeah, Toscanini, yeah, you're right. You know, but mm-hmm. she was like, Dad, no. And, you know, stuff like that.
Cool.
And, like, even Wanda, I guess, Wally had an affair with a married man in Toscanini, like, I'm not going to talk to you ever again.
It was
really upset. But Wanda confronted him and was like, Dad, give her a break. Like,
she's human.
She's human.
She
loved this man. Just
get over it.
Get over it, Dad. Come on.
Hmm.
And this was a fun little story I found. She saw a critic at one of her dad's shows that she was in the audience for. This critic was Virgil Thompson, which is someone who often gave Toscanini really bad reviews.
Rude.
And she saw him dozing off during a performance. And after the show, she approached him and apparently announced, "I am Wanda Toscanini Horowitz, and I saw you sleep from the first note to the last. I hope you enjoyed the performance."
Boom.
Bada boom. yeah. So I also didn't mention before, but when Toscanini often worked with a man called Vladimir Horowitz.
Oh, okay.
So that is who Wanda married.
Very cool.
So it was kind of like a lot, and like Toscanini really liked him, and they've spent a lot of time together.
Okay.
And so, Horowitz was a pianist. Wanda ended up marrying him in 1933.
I didn't laugh that time.
I did.
I'm getting better. You did.
I can't help it.
I can't laugh anymore. I'm out of laughs. I'm sure I'll laugh again.
Wanda was like really strong and bold and told him like it was too. Like the same with her dad. Like that was just her personality. Like sometimes she would just tell him like that music is too long. Like you can't play that. That's too long. Also later in his life when he went on a tour and his mind was fading, Wanda refused to go with him to support something that she didn't think he should do.
Wow.
She's like, "You can go ahead and do this, but I'm not coming with."
I don't agree.
I'm not going. They separated in 1948 because, in the words that I read, the pianist was struggling with his homosexuality. I don't know. I tried to read more about that. But I mean, at that time, like, nothing was said about anything like that. But that's what I read. So, but they split up for a bit. And it was rumored that during that little brief time that they were split up, it was rumored that one of Horowitz's students had an affair with Wanda during that time. The couple reconciled, and a few years later, Horowitz had a very big nervous breakdown, and Wanda remained by his side.
Okay.
And she loved him, and she just wanted to be, like, they liked each other a lot.
Yeah, they just wanted to be together, but it sounds like he was maybe gay.
Yeah, probably.
Or bisexual or something, and but that wasn't a thing you could be,
right? And so, like, it was basically like they were friends.
There's like partners,
and it felt like it was a cross to bear sometimes that, like, she had to help him through these things when it wasn't maybe as, like, loving of a marriage as it was more of a friendship. But yeah, she was super tough. She lost her daughter. Her daughter was 41 when she died. So it was like a young death.
Yeah.
But she was also badass because she was raised Catholic, but she didn't agree with a lot of the church's stances, such as birth control.
Oh.
So she was just
She was pro-birth control.
Pro-birth control.
Okay.
And so she was like, she was loud about it. And she didn't have a big stage, but, like, people heard her, and, like, she fought for it.
She spoke her mind. That's cool.
And, yeah, she and her husband were very liberal, and once referred to Reagan as second-rate actor and second-rate president.
Whoa. Well, those are fighting words.
Yes. In 1989, Horowitz, her husband, passed, and she bought a farm in Massachusetts. She filled it full of American antiques and memorabilia of her late husband.
I really wanted you to say, like, dogs or llamas or something.
Just you wait.
Okay, we're okay.
She named the old farmhouse Pincy Acres, which was her nickname for him.
Oh,
so cute. So it's kind of cute. But she was an animal lover.
Good.
She volunteered for the ASPCA and adopted a lot of stray cats. So she just had... I mean, I wish it was dogs and... goats and llamas, but
okay, but that's still cool.
Cats, but sure. she volunteered her time.
You can be a cool old cat lady, that's fine.
Sure.
That's cool.
But when she passed, she's buried next to her husband in the Toscanini family tomb. Olive Garden.
In Italy,
in Milan. And sadly, I guess in 2004, vandals broke into the crypt and opened her coffin.
But, like, why though?
Assumedly looking for jewelry.
That's so rude. Fucking stupid.
I know.
You're dumb.
So dumb. She appeared on a lot of documentaries, though, because she got to know two very well-known
musicians
in, like, the role of daughter and the role of wife. Mm-hmm. And so she appeared and talked about them often. And she was, I guess, friends with Woody Allen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna touch it.
Yep, can't, but wanted to share it.
I guess.
But she did have a small speaking part in the movie Crimes and Misdemeanors.
Huh.
Which I thought was kind of interesting and cool. Like,
yeah.
And that was more so near the end of her life.
Yeah.
So, good for you. You got to be in a movie.
Way to go, Wanda.
Way to go, Wanda. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I got for Toscanini Pasta Den.
So, I don't think Toscanini started a fire, but he did start a fire in my belly because yeah. I'm so hungry for some pasta.
Everyone's eating pasta tonight.
And I can't wait to listen to some of his music.
Yeah. I mean, he was just, like, he saw things and heard things differently. Like, he had absolute pitch. Like, mm-hmm. he knew he could hear it and play it and speak it. And he was able to do all those things. And he was just, like, the most amazing thing to me was he was just nonstop. Like, I think about traveling to all the places that he was and went bing, bang, boom. And I think about traveling like that now. Mm-hmm. And that seems fun but exhausting.
Yeah.
Think about it then.
No. No, thank you.
I guess when he worked with NBC and did tours, they gave him, like, a special train. But still.
And he did it in his old age and everything.
Yeah. He is pretty cool. I enjoy it. I did not, when I first started my research, I did not think that I would have, like, a ton of things to share.
Yeah.
But he is a cool guy.
He was pretty interesting. And his family was interesting.
Yeah.
Way to go, Toscanini.
Toscanini. Pasta. Alfredo. Martinis.
This is not a joke we're going to eat right now.
Bye.
Wir sind hier zum Feiern.